we're back on Inside Black and Gold, the podcast where I yell now, but I don't yell because I'm angry. I yell because I'm happy, and I'm just yelling at the people who used to be angry and now feel dumb. That's Steve Geller. We're in the final segment of this podcast, and this is the time where I'm going to tell you Derek Carr is not a different person. Derek Carr is the same Derek Carr you were mad at last year. And I think this is an important take, because I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, and here, let's play a clip from Dennis Allen, and I'll tell you why this is significant to me.
Man, that's a hell of a win, guys. That's a good football team that we just beat. Okay, 16 regular season wins in a row. Okay, that was a good team. All right, now, okay, here's what we said. We said we had to come in here and play our brand of football. Yeah. All right, and that's exactly what we did. Yeah. We played the way the Saints have to play this game. All right? And look, hey, sometimes you just got to pop out and show them.
Certified boogeyman. I'm the one who upped the score with him. I'm glad he sang the edited version of that song. Let's say that. Second, you know, I do. It's like, hey, they played that song every day at practice during training camp. So I do wonder if that's just something Dennis Allen says now. Okay. But yes, he's quoting Kendrick Lamar. But no, it's hilarious because, you know, for example, people will listen to that clip and they'll say, DA has aura now, right? The vibe. They're immaculate. And here's the thing. It's really not that. Like, these guys are the same guys. That's the type of thing he would have said last year. And the difference is not that he's now more confident. The difference is you like it now. The difference is you would have clowned that last year, and this year you're like, oh man, yeah. Like, it's that dating versus breakup situation. When you're dating someone, all their idiosyncrasies and their quirks and everything, you love them and they're endearing. And when you hate somebody, every little thing that they do that you might have found endearing is annoying. And that's the case with Dennis Allen. That's the case with Derek Carr. It's the case with Mickey Loomis. That's the case with whatever. When you are confident, when you're excited, and you see Derek Carr come out of the pile and hit the Michael Jackson, you're like, that's my quarterback, right? Last year, when he did stuff like that, you were like, who does this guy think he is? And you know, I'm happy for him because, you know, well, one thing that Derek, I think you've seen from him this year is like, you know, he's just worked really hard, you know, like, and
that's the thing. He's more comfortable this year, though.
When you're winning, you're going to be more comfortable, right? When you feel like everything's going well, you're going to be more comfortable.
But that's part of, like, we're going to talk about here, that combination of him and Kubiak is a good mesh, where it just seemed very clunky with Carmichael last year.
Oh, it was. And that was the case with a lot of people. That was the case with Alvin Kamara. That was the case with Derek Carr. And that's why you change it, right? And the thing is, like, but here's the thing. Like, the reason I think this is significant is because it's not that Derek didn't play well at all last year.
Right.
It's not like the final month of the season wasn't a title shift in the type of quarterback play you were seeing from him. It was that no one gave him the credit for that in that moment because you didn't believe it. You thought it was a mirage. And I still have people saying, like, the stats from last year weren't that good. And I'm like, no, they were elite. They were like the best in the NFL over the final month of the season. You just didn't see it get into the postseason. But like, now you look at that 48-17 win over the Falcons to close out the season. You look at that win over the Bucks in Tampa, and suddenly it doesn't look like, oh, well, too little, too late. It looks like, oh, we were revving up.
Right.
Right. You were seeing a guy kind of coming into a situation and building chemistry with playmakers and the team kind of bonding. And you did carry that over. The question at the time was, hey, can you carry that over into another season? And the answer was yes, even though no one supported that idea. Right.
Right.
And here's Alvin talking about that situation.
I mean, you know, I'm always honest. I think he got a lot, maybe more than he deserved of last year, you know. And, you know, I would be lying if I stood up here and told y'all that it didn't hurt him. I'm sure it hurt him, you know what I'm saying, because I see what type of work he puts in, and I see the type of player that he is and the player that he wants to be and the type of teammate he is and the type of man he is. So, you know, like, for him to come out and perform, like, it almost feels better for me seeing that than, you know, me getting the success, because I know how hard he works, and I know, you know, the city's been hard on him. You coming in, you trying to fill the shoes of a Drew Brees that's been, you know, that guy for so long. And, I mean, that's hard for anyone to do. But, you know, I think Derek, he's taking on the challenge. He's working hard, and he just wants to lead, you know. So, you know, we're following the leader.
When you see in the film room him taking a hit on a 60-yard TD pass now 2 weeks in a row, when you review the film tomorrow, like, what does that do for you?
I mean, that's kind of – the epitome of what we're talking about, right? Like, he's a guy. Like, he's gonna deliver. He wants to deliver. So, you know, he'll sacrifice himself to go up there and you know, give Shee the opportunity to go score a bit, make an explosive play. That's just who he is. You know, I mean I give him his flowers, you know, every day. But, you know, I don't want to sit up here and make it seem like he a charity case. Like, man, he a great quarterback, you know. So I'm happy that he's getting the opportunity to showcase that.
AK's so cool.
You talk about aura, right? The guy who will never lose aura. It's AK. But no, so like, that's the thing with Derek. And last year it was funny because it was like, you had a guy who was playing hurt. You had a guy who had a significant shoulder injury in week three. You know, maybe shouldn't have played through it, but that's just who he is. He's a guy who, if he can get on the field, he's going to get on the field. And there were people saying that was selfish. There's people saying whatever. I think he was just trying to prove something to his teammates, to the fans. And for whatever reason, it just never worked. It just never resonated in the way that, you know, when Drew Brees is out there playing through a separated shoulder, everyone's like, what a warrior. What a goddamn warrior. And for Derek, it was like, what a selfish guy. And that's why I think it's significant when people say, like, oh, he's different now, he's changed. I don't think that's true. Like, there was a take after the Panthers game, and I saw a few people was like, oh, we bullied the Saints into being better. And I was like, here's the thing. No, you didn't. Because everything that you said they should do, they didn't do. They didn't fire the coach. They didn't bench the quarterback. They didn't put the rookie in. They didn't do all of these things that you said. They've stayed the course. And they felt like, no, we think Derek's a good quarterback. We think this roster has a good balance of veterans and young players and developing players. And we think we can change things around these guys and improve. And that's what happened. Now, I will give you some credit, because I do think you bullied Derek Carr into being a better player. And I don't mean that in the sense that you were mean to him and suddenly he remembered, that's right, I'm a good quarterback, I'm going to show these guys. I do think you created a monster. And I've said this about guys like Tom Brady, guys like Joe Burrow. And it's like, what was the genesis of them becoming this crazy, insane, I'm going to just work harder than everybody else?
And I'll fucking show you, right?
For Tom Brady, it was, you know, being the sixth round pick and no one giving him credit coming out of Michigan. And so he was like, you know, he's like, and that I took that personally, right? Yep. With Joe Burrow, it was getting beat out by Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State and going to LSU. I'm like, okay. And I took that personally. And I was talking to Mike Haas on the bus ride back from the airport. And I was like, this start to, for the Saints season reminds me of LSU in 2019. Because LSU sat there that entire preseason and said, hey, we're going to score 45 points a game. And we all were like, oh, Joe, you're adorable.
Oh, that's cute, right?
You're adorable. Then they went out and did it. And we were like,
oh,
yo, is this for real? Is this actually happening? And it wasn't until they went to Texas and scored on like every possession against Texas that we were like, well, this might be legit. This might be for real. And that was created because Joe had that kind of impetus to be like, you know what? No, I'm not taking a day off. I'm being that insane worker. I'm being that insane leader. And you know, I don't know. I'm not to say that Derek hasn't done that throughout his career in terms of being a hard worker, being a leader, but he walked into a starting job on day one. No one questioned whether he was a good quarterback. They questioned, oh, what was his ceiling? But then he comes to the Saints and suddenly, you know, after being on the Raiders for 10 years and kind of being told, hey, you are the starter, we believe in you, suddenly you're like, they're booing me. And I know they're booing me because when I run off the field, they boo. Or when I run off the field, they cheer. And when I run back on the field, they boo. They're booing me. It really was. And it's like, and you know, I give him credit for being a much more stable minded individual than me. Cause I would have been like, fuck you. Like you can all fuck all the way off.
I think maybe that's part of it though. That definitely fuels him.
Maybe in his head he was thinking that, but he turned that into a positive thing.
Yes, for sure.
And that's why when you hear him say like, hey, you know, and I kind of rolled my eyes when he said this the first time, but now I believe it. He was like, guys, I ran every practice this year twice. Right. I went out there before every training camp practice with the assistant coaches and ran through the entire practice. Then everyone else showed up and we did the practice again. and he's like, and that helped me. And he's talked to Drew Brees. He's talked to Peyton Manning. He's talked to these guys about like, hey, how do you do it? And Peyton's a great guy to talk to because he did it with Denver. Right. Like he had to do that thing where he proved it all over again. And he went, you know, that was one of those teams we talked about scoring 40 plus points in the first two games of the season, as it only happened like five times in the last two decades. Peyton Manning with the Broncos was one of those. He also did it with the Colts. But like everyone had quit on Peyton Manning when he went to Denver. Like, I don't think people remember that necessarily. But like there was this idea at the time that it was like, now he's washed. Denver's making a mistake.
Right. That neck injury. He should just hang him up.
Yeah. He had that neck injury. You know, when he won the Super Bowl, it was funny because it's like his best seasons were the 2 years before that. And then he won the Super Bowl against the Panthers. But like he rode the bus for that one. But like he was the best quarterback in football for those 2 years with Denver. And he just put on two gloves and he did his thing. There was he made Julius Thomas into like the best tight end in football. I remember at the time, one of my good friends in Myrtle Beach, who he passed away recently, but he owned a bar and I would go there because he would always put on the Giants games for me. And he was like, he's like, I love Julius Thomas, but you could put a shopping cart with a hand on it and roll it down the field, and Peyton Manning would turn that guy into like an 80 catch, 1,000 yard receiver. Like it's about Peyton. It's not about Julius Thomas. And I just think like that's a factor. That's a real thing that happens with quarterbacks. And it was fitting that Tom Brady was calling that game because you could tell he was impressed on both sides of the ball with everything the Saints were doing. And I don't know. I'm just really happy that we've gotten to this point and that everyone can now kind of appreciate what the Saints put into this offseason and what they're now pulling out of this offseason.
They've set a hell of a standard, though, now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what you got to do. It's what, like when no one's paying attention to you, you got to force them. Like, no. Sometimes you got to. What did I say? Sometimes you got to pop out and show them.
Freaking DA now. I mean, between him and Derek Carr doing, you know, Michael Jackson moves, it really is like, what the hell is going on right now?
Yeah, and no, don't worry. We have more on that. Here's what Derek said about that dance move.
how much time was spent in front of the mirror working on that Michael Jackson?
See, that's not much time in front of the mirror. I was, you know, I'm a dancer in my day, you know, and so don't let the four kids fool you. You know, I had to lure their mom in somehow. You know what I mean?
Did you have to explain what that was to Hainer and Ratliff? Do they have any idea what you were
doing? Yeah, good. That's a really good point. But to their credit, they knew who he was. And so that's a good question. I should have used that one.
But how did that come up with your brothers? Like, do they throw ideas at you?
No, I'm a dancer. People don't know a lot of stuff about me. But, you know, they see me like all the time at weddings or, you know, birthdays and music. I'm always dancing. And so one time I hit the Michael Jackson, they were like, bro, you got to do that when you score one time. So I did it and they made an edit and I posted it. And that's what that's how
it went. He was running around in the locker room like DeMario was talking to the media and he didn't see it. And he was just like, wait, what? He did what? And then Derek was like, I got you. And he showed him the video. Alvin said he gives like, dude, boy, look at this. But no, if you haven't done this yet and now we have all these Derek Carr fans all of a sudden and you're going to want to consume all this Derek Carr content, do yourself a favor. Go Google Derek Carr Educational Employees Credit Union commercials.
Right.
Because he and his brother, David, have an entire series of commercials for this bank that are actually hilarious. And I've been wanting to bring them up for a while, but there's been so much resentment toward Derek that it was like people are just going to clown him for this if I bring it up. There's one that we played last year where he jokes about the eyeliner thing because he gets clowned for he's got these really dark eyelashes and it looks like he's wearing eyeliner. And he's like, oh, it's called guyliner. But there's one of the commercials is him doing this like elaborate dance sequence. And I did ask him about that. They cut it out. They cut it out of the press conference. I don't know why. It's like maybe they didn't want to advertise for employee, the EECU, whatever. But it's cool to see him kind of like it's frustrating knowing how much fun the Saints team can be and the fan base can have supporting this team. And then watching at every turn, everything that could be fun being weaponized and turned into this toxic poison dart that's aimed at like killing any amount of, hey, we could be having fun right now. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to be mad. And I feel like we're finally getting to the point where we can all have fun again. And I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, you haven't seen this much personality out of Derek, at least here. And obviously he was getting, you know, broken in year one in New Orleans. And like we mentioned before, too, it wasn't so smooth in the Pete Carmichael scheme. And I guess moving here, too, puts a lot of taxing on your life and your life ends up spilling into your work.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of that affected him, whether you want to, you know, admit that or recognize that. But I think he has totally acknowledged the fact that getting, you know, accustomed and acclimated to New Orleans wasn't as easy as he even thought.
No, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. And, you know, and I think that's what a lot of people are reacting to is they wanted it to be easy. They wanted it to work right away.
You just plug and play, right?
And it just didn't work the way that anyone intended. Now, one thing we haven't talked about nearly enough, and, you know, that's on me. We should have talked about it more. Clint Kubiak has turned into the perfect fit in the way that he's started his Saints career. I don't know if you could have imagined a better scenario. I really don't. Like, it's been perfect. And part of it's that like he's so boring.
And I love it.
He's just, you know, it, like here's the
I
thing.
I feel like that's part of the evil genius I think about him. He's like, yeah. I know how to play the media even too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's just kind of part of his DNA, but like, I don't even know if there's anything special to that beyond like, I am boring, but it's a good thing because I know what I need to know when I do what I need to do. And just, yeah. You know, I don't talk about a lot of stuff that happens on the plane because I don't think we're supposed to. And, you know, it's kind of weird, but I don't think they'll get mad at me for sharing this. The plane we got on in Dallas, they only had like, normally they'll have two ladders or two like things to climb up into the plane on, like one in the back, right, which is where the pores go, and then one in the front, the players and the team and the coaches and everything, that's where they go. Well, in this case there was only the one in the front, so as we loaded the plane they obviously let the players and coaches out first, but that means that the pores and me, we have to walk through that area to get to our seats. And so normally I don't see what's going on in the front of the plane. This time, right, I did. And you know, you think, hey, you just beat the Cowboys 44-19. You just, what a win, what a day. Celebrate a little, right? So, you know, the players are having a good time. They're talking. I'm walking back and, you know, Clint is sitting there not talking to anybody. He's going through film and he's got like pages of notes already. Like, he clearly spent, like, he got on the bus. Who knows when he started? Maybe he started in the stadium. He's clearly going through, because he had only been on the plane for like a minute or two before I got on the plane. So this is all stuff that had been done like on the bus on the way from the stadium. Like, he was already going, like, he, talk about 24-hour rule. He might not have a 24-minute rule of like, that's the, you know, like, you kind of have to be kind of this crazy maniacal worker to succeed in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, you know, from even from that perspective, I was like, no shit. Like, he's already like, I know they do the film study on the flight. Usually they wait until you get in the air, you know, like he's already. I thought that was so telling of like, OK, why is he having so much success so early? Because that's the type of person he is. Like, he's not going to waste a second. Honestly, the only thing that's gone badly for him and the Saints in terms of his tenure is that if things keep going this way, you're only going to get 1 year of him because he's going to end up being a head coach next year.
I said that too to Bobby as we're watching the game. I'm like, he's going to be the hot name for a head coach somewhere.
Well, and that is the problem when you have a defensive head coach, because you kind of need to have that rock star offensive coordinator. That's why the Mark P. Carmichael thing was always stupid to me, because it was like, you need someone who can command that offense and be a person, be his own person, not just a weird reflection of Sean. And but that's the issue, right? Look at Detroit with Ben Johnson. Like, he's still there, but you know, he was the name last year. Bobby Slowick in Houston, they were able to keep him, but he was a name that everyone was interviewing. Like, this year you're going to have Clint. It's going to be the same situation. Like, you look at that Commander staff. Like, you look at the Patriots staffs. Like, anytime you have a team that's winning at a high level, you're going to get poached. And
they're coming.
Yeah. But, all right. Pure vibes. Last thing I will leave you with is Bobby on the postgame show. We didn't talk much about the postgame show. You said he was punching you all day. I'm sure you have a bruise or two, because he was having a great time.
Animated A-Bear for sure.
I don't know if anyone enjoys a win over the Cowboys quite like a Bobby Hebert enjoys the win over the Cowboys. Like, it's just, it's different for him. It means something more
for
when
sure.
It's at the expense of the Cowboys. And I thought this was the best part of his take personally. A lot of you probably have already seen this if you're watching this on YouTube, because it did post on YouTube, but this is toward the end. I found this part to be just hilarious.
It's almost, I like saying, this is almost too good to be true. I wanted the game to be over at halftime because I was so excited. But you know what? That's how confident our team is. Halftime, no, we want two more quarters to keep whipping that ass, to keep whooping Dallas, to keep the Cowgirls down. Oh, they say they have home field advantage. I think who that chant was the advantage in that stadium
streak
today.
Snap.
The streak snapped, but that got snapped when Green Bay whiffed him in the postseason. And you know why Green Bay whiffed him? What we did. What did Green Bay do that we did?
Run the football.
Run it right down their throat. What about like Micah Parsons? Okay, Micah Parsons, he's sexy and he does what podcasts and all that kind of stuff and tells you how good he is. You can sack the quarterback. You know what you do? You run right at that son of a gun. You run right at him. You know what he had? He had three total tackles. Oh, you know what, Lawrence, DeMarco Lawrence, he had two. They were non-factors. You got to make a run at them. Don't let them pin their ears back and rush the passer, rush the quarterback. Listen, it was so memorable, this game. I think, truly, even though Sean Payton and Drew Brees, what they accomplished, considering the expectations, this is so satisfying, this ass-whipping of Dallas, they got humbled. It's the most humbling experience, I guarantee you, Jerry Jones has ever had in his life.
And what a start for the Saints, back-to-back butt whoopings.
And the team that beat him is Ms. Gail Benson, the nicest lady in the world. The nicest lady in the world went to Big D, went to Jerry's world, and whipped that behind. Whipped him. You cannot sugarcoat. You cannot say, oh, what if this would have happened, that would have happened. No, it was so satisfying. Again, it's only 2-0. I'll tell you, Steve, after the first six games, I hope we would be 3-3. But now that we're 2-0 right now, listen, I want to beat Philadelphia in the Dome. And you know, I want to beat Kansas City and play there on Monday night.
I just love that. It's like the nicest lady in the world went and just embarrassed Jerry Jones. It's just so easy to clown Jerry. He's like the emperor in Star Wars.
Right.
Even like his, like, and when you watch him in the draft, his
Death Star is impressive. I got to give him that, though. I'm sure you do, too. I mean, it's massive. It looks nice. But yes, very corporate, evil empire-ish, I guess, is the best way to put that.
See, I don't know. The best thing I heard yesterday was that the star at midfield, it's actually not a logo. It's a rating.
Oh, ba-doom.
It's a one star rating.
Just one.
Just one. Yeah. That's why, you know, if you go on like TripAdvisor, you do one star. Always make sure every Cowboys related thing gets one star, because that's what they want. They just want the one. It's. Woo! What a day. What a day. But all right, I think we've done it. I know this pod was a little all over the place, but we did what we could.
Victory Mondays, baby. They're the best.
Man, I mean, this season could be a lot of fun. Like, And I'm glad because the last few seasons haven't been fun.
Yeah, now we get to scout a game on Monday Night Football about your upcoming opponent and also a division rival. So kudos to Monday Night Football tonight.
Yeah, and now DA is going to have to work a lot harder to come up with reasons to get motivated in pregame press speeches. Wow, man, forgot a word there. Yeah, there's the speeches. Yeah, because I don't think that I think that there's going to be an overcorrection here really fast in terms of the national conversation around this team. It's going to be interesting to see how that kind of relates if like the Eagles go out and lose to the Falcons or whatever tonight on Monday Night Football, how that conversation is going to be coming in. Because like when you're good for a while and then you start to lose and another team kind of takes your place, Cowboys, Eagles, then suddenly the conversation becomes, well, who's on the hot seat now?
I haven't noticed today, honestly, with the national folks, is it more, are they giving the Saints their praise or is it kind of like, man, the Cowboys are terrible?
Well, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world are going to freak out about the Cowboys and say this is about the Cowboys and not the Saints. because that's what they do. I think the Saints offense is getting its praise and everyone already kind of appreciates the defense. So,
right.
No, I think that the national conversation is going to change on a dime. That's why it was always funny to me. Last week, I went through the power rankings and with the sole purpose so that this week I could come and dunk on them even harder with documentation.
Well, now you can do the Michael Jackson on them like that.
All right. This is Inside Black and Gold. Who dat?
2-0.
Let's go.
Thanks, Joe.